Blog Talk Radio.
Out the window, and the white stuff is coming down. So this is not the official beginning of winter, but god damn, it sure enough feel like it. A couple weeks ago, something in the 60s and the 70s, and now we got a little snowiosis on the ground. The family and the friends and everybody from Atlanta was bugging out because they were trapped in the midst of a snowstorm. And I'm laughing at him like, you don't know what the fuck a snowstorm is, but, you know, everything is relative. So that's how it be and that's how it go. What's going on, family? This week, I will be real with you. We're sitting back and we're talking. Actually, let's go back to last week. So last week, we're sitting back and we're talking. And actually, Rashi, we do the call and all that stuff to have our meeting and whatnot, and she actually hit me, and she was like, yo, I have a guest, and I want to have a guest on, and I'm sitting back like, yo, that's butter, because I ain't even going to lie. I was in a funk. I was in a funk like a motherfucker. Like, you get all this negative shit just coming at you, just all this negative energy's been reverbing, like, heavy over the past couple of weeks. You can't turn around without somebody losing their job, someone being accused of sexual misconduct, or so on and so forth. So I was like, fuck, I don't know where to go, to be real. So when Rashi hit me, I was like, shit, that's what's up. Let's glide, glide. So everything worked out really good last week. So this week, going into it, about to do the call, get into it for this week. And then I saw, well, that's not true. I actually saw the HBO special, Baltimore Rising, the week before. But I really didn't get into it. I watched a little bit of it, and then I really, like, stopped. So then this week, I'm sitting at the home chilling at the lab. And I said, well, let me finish watching it. So I watched it. And as I'm engaged in it, a lot of things are reverbing. First off, the two main characters, well, not the two main characters, the two main fixtures of the documentary. I've engaged with them on several occasions. They've been through the Black Wall Street ceremonies that we have here in Baltimore. They've been through some other things that I've been a part of here in Baltimore. So I've engaged with them on several different occasions. Don't know them intimately, but again, have engaged with them on several different occasions. So I was like, oh yeah, that's my man, that's my sister. You know, we've chopped it up. Boom. But the underlying current in those things were what really grabbed me this week. Not only because of how true and how powerful they were, but also because toward the end of the year, if you've been following the show, and God willing you have, toward the end of the year, we always try to flip it and do a recap and a renew. The recap is obviously the things we've talked about throughout the year, and the renew is, okay, so what are we going to do differently moving into the new year? How are we going to track new opportunities via health, money, relationships, sex, whatever? How are we going to attract those things moving into the new year? So I'm listening to it, and Kwame got arrested again. And to myself, wow, that's like bananas. And then I'm seeing Jamal Bryant call his attorney and say, yo, you know, are you still representing Kwame? He said, yes, well, he's got arrested. And obviously the attorney said, are you kidding? He said, I wish I was, brother, but I'm being honest. He just got arrested. And then it clips later to him sitting with the family, and the family talking to him, his mother and his father, about his future and how he needs to protect his future and take care of himself and grow up and so on and so forth. And the young lady, her name escapes me right now. It'll come to me in a second. Two, she's getting it from her mom about how she needs to, while participating in the movement, stop and think about her future because she was a senior in high school and, you know, she needs to apply to college and she needs to take care of her. So I'm like, yo, this is some shit that in 2017, Black folks in America are still faced with the choices of fighting for freedom for themselves as a whole and their people, and still having to deal with taking care of themselves as an individual. That's some shit. And, you know, you need the, in any change, you need the wisdom of the elders, energy of the young folk, because the young folks are the ones that are really going to hit the ground for you and do what they do. The elders are really there to help you understand how to go about it, help you mold and craft policy, and then get you into doors that you're not able to get to because they have relationships that you don't have. So those are the things that really, really drew me this week. I mean, it really, like, held me down, you know. So I reached out to Rashi, and I was like, yo, I want to flip it. I want to really go into this power freedom thing, because not only does it echo what our guest said the other day, right? Because she was saying that she's mentoring a young lady who is very open with the fact that she's HIV positive. And she says, and Rashi, good morning to you. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm summarizing.
Good morning, brother.
I don't want to shove words down the young lady's throat, but I believe she said it's a beautiful thing for her to see her mentee release her freedom on a daily basis. Well, not daily basis, but constantly, when she can speak to whom she is and what she's going through, and how invigorating that is for her. So it was one of those things where I'm like, yo,
well,
the lady she was speaking of was
someone who went from the street to the boardroom. You know, you heard of people going the other way, falling off and going from the boardroom to the streets. Well, this lady she was talking about literally went from walking the street to being to running the streets to helping the streets. So yeah, the lady was a phenomenal. I had the pleasure of actually meeting her mentor, and she was one of them people that just left a mark. You know, some people you can meet and you can meet them 10 times and they never do leave their mark on you. This particular woman you could only meet once. And she came at you like Nana, even if you were older than her. She came at you like she was your grandma, who only wanted the best for you. As soon as she met you, she was a grandmother who only wanted the best for you. You understand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, again, my point was that that freedom that she expressed actually reverbed into the freedom that the kids were expressing in the Baltimore Rising documentary. And then I started thinking, because I reached out to Millie, whom I always reach out to, again, around this time of the year, so we talk about relationships and all that jazz, about new love and the consequences thereof. And then I'm sitting back with some of my classmates last night, and we're talking about this, that, and the third. And Keisha came through, and I got on Keisha's ass. I was like, yo, when you get married? And she's like, again. I'm like, yo, whatever. When you get married? So then she and I started talking, and then later on, Muffy came in, and Muffy hit me over the head, like, yo, you seeing anybody? And I'm like, yo, no, but I'm really, you know, I'm moving toward that space, because hopefully I can move toward that space, because that's something I really want to attract. So the point being that this energy around freedom and strength has just reverbed like all week. So it was the thing that caught me. Now, you know, we can talk about the Mueller investigation. We can talk about Al Franken leaving, and we will talk about that. We can talk about the Joker, I think it's Trent, whom was asking the women on his staff to be a surrogate for his child. And we'll talk about that. We're going to get into all of that. But of that, I didn't want lost this energy that was reverbing all week. You had something to add? I'm sorry, Rasha. I didn't try to.
Yeah, freedom, right? Freedom. Freedom in this country. Freedom in this country is a very profound idea, because it's not like they have an absolute theory. Like, no matter what, we should all be free. It's a conditional theory in this country. You can be free as long as you normalize, as long as you can keep yourself behaving within the confines of what we feel normal in this society. You can be quote unquote free. You know, the only problem is going to come when what you want doesn't help or doesn't maintain the status quo of what's happening. For instance, when black women refuse to marry, but they have an abundance of children, that angers this country. They say if you're gonna breed under wedlock, you know, that way they have somebody to blame. They can point fingers. If you're breeding out of wedlock, then when it's time to blame, they have to point the finger around at them. Well, they can point at you, the breeder, but when your behavior is outside of the norm, this country don't have an anti-drug policy per se, but when you're selling drugs to where they can't get no money off of it, that's when you're doing something bad. Providing or selling the drugs, just when you're doing it and nobody can, and the state can't benefit from it.
Hence the reason we have legal marijuana nowadays.
All those things have freedom. All them things. That's right. That's right. All them things have freedom as the underlying theme. The freedom to, you know, I'm big on taking people's freedoms away. I'm so bad. Look, I'm so bad. I want people to have to show a health card in order to buy hamburgers.
Okay.
I want people to have to show before you can buy some two number twos and a number six.
You gotta
show
be healthy enough.
Your doctor should be able to give you. That's right. Your doctor said
that your
cholesterol per calorie card. This is how many calories they can.
Right.
here,
your
this is how many calories he can order at one setting. If you serve him, if you serve him more than 2,000 calories in this setting, you are responsible for whatever gout or whatever is going to happen afterwards.
Mm. Mm. Oh, man, you gangster with it. You gangster with
I'd
it.
I'd be very gangster. You remember when Michelle Obama clamped down on all the sugar in the kids' school?
Mm-hmm.
I'd do that in all the buildings. People would start treating sugar like dope here. You'd see people with sugar packets in their coat talking about, I got that S.
I got that Splendor, son. I got that Splendor.
I got some of that. Hey, I got some of that sweet S for you, baby. Don't drink that coffee without it. Here, I got some of that S. And then the lady would go, but I already took my two packets that the doctor said I could have. And then he'll go, here, I got that here, 50 cent a packet. Come on.
Yeah, speaking of which, and again, you see how all this shit reverts, family. You know, please remember, our story, our show is about life. So, again, sitting with my classmates yesterday, found out two of my classmates are diabetic. Had no idea. First off, that ain't nothing you just casually talk about. Okay, so I'm not supposed to have an idea. Okay, get the fuck off my back. Stop looking at me like that. But the fact that two of my classmates were diabetic, and they just so happened to be sitting right across from me, right next to one another, I was like, okay, how the hell is, I mean, you know, we're still young, right? So we still have those concepts of invulnerability, like I'm so super strong and shit like that. But we're in that tween age. We're between the fact that we're young, but, yeah, I'm getting old because, like, shit is starting to break apart. Shit, the body is starting to break down. Randy was there. Randy had shoulder surgery. Then he was like, yo, but my knee was hurting forever. But the pain from my shoulder superseded my knee. So when I got my shoulder right, then the pain from the knee really started kicking in. And I was like, dog, this shit ain't working. I went to a second doctor because he did get an opinion from his first doctor. He said, I went to a second doctor. They did an MRI. They was like, yeah, you got tears in your meniscus. He had several tears in his meniscus. I'm like, how the fuck they missed that? And he's like, dog, I don't know. So, you know, just the fact that we're getting older comes into play. But sitting there and both of them ordering diet sodas versus regular soda. I was like, why you? I'm sorry, I'm diabetic. I'm like, for real? Like, yeah. Like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I say this often, and I will continue to say it. First off, don't take any of your relationships for granted, because you just never fucking know the next time you're going to get to see or speak to anybody. Okay, I got to kick it in there. Don't kick me later, but, you know, it's my thing. Hence the reason I hate texting. I prefer to talk, because you just never – I mean, how would you feel if the last conversation you had with one of your loved ones was not actually a conversation, you just text them? Really? How the fuck would you feel about that? Hence the reason I prefer to call people versus texting them. But anyhow, that's my thing, and I know that. But we're putting that over to the side. We're not talking about that no more, okay? It's over in the box. It's locked up. Okay, I won't talk about that no more. But still, take your shit seriously, because you just never know. And your health is your greatest asset, because if you're not healthy, then you can't do this. You can't travel. You can't make money. You just don't make babies. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of things you can't do. So your health is truly your greatest asset. This was something that has been running through my mind all week. Young lady that I know, she asked me, not this week, but the week before last, she was like, yo, I'm going to Zumba on Wednesday. You want to come out? And I was like, yeah, no. But now I'm like, well, maybe I might take her up on that, because I need to start doing something in addition to the 10,000 steps that I try to hit every day. I say try, motherfuckers, I say try, that I try to hit every day. I need to do something in addition to that to, you know, make sure that I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel you. But, Lee, there's power. Go ahead.
Lee, Brother Lee, this is not something that you want to look up and wait till your stomach is overshadowing your penis to start working on. You know, you want to start this stuff, you want to start thinking preventatively instead of curatively, you know? And so that's what I tell people now. What do you want to look like at 60? Whatever that is, start today. Because when you get 60, you don't have the strength or the mindset to get yourself right for 80. You have to work on 80 at 60. You have to work on 60 at 40. You understand? And if you don't have that mindset of what you want from tomorrow, you won't have it. If you don't walk now, you won't be walking when you're 60. If you're not having sex now, you're not finna pull out no whole bunch of stroking in 20, 25 years. If you want it, literally, if you don't use it, you will lose it. That's the nature of the human body. So I tell people all the time, no, you don't wanna be a tennis player, but you need to play tennis once a month so that if you ever wanna play tennis again, you can play tennis. If you ever want to run again, you better start doing a fast-paced walk today, because you'll never run again if you don't start trying to run now. People don't hear that. They think, oh, no, as soon as they get behind me with the gun, I'm going to be able to snap, pick up, and run for my life. Let me let you know, half of America couldn't run for their life if they wanted to. Like, literally, if I got behind them with a gun and started running towards them, they could not sufficiently run and take off enough to save their own lives. That's something people need to think about before the man with the gun get behind them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have no portion control. And again, you know, it's wondrous how all the strings tie in together and they make a little nice pretty bow. So I'm on Facebook this week, and there were a couple of things that came through the pipe that spoke on the differences between America and the world. And one of those things were, in fact, how we eat, our diets, how people eat dinner much earlier in the rest of the world, and then they have a final meal later on in the evening, how people just treat food in general in other portions of the world, speaking toward the portion size and how we're viewed as wasteful because our plates are so freaking huge and we pile so damn much food on it. And 9 times out of 10, you're not going to eat all that food in one setting. So why even give it to you? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, things that I picked up on through the week and just kept feeding this energy of power and freedom and understanding what you do, what you don't do, why you do it, why you don't do it, why you shouldn't do it, why you should do it, and making much better life choices. So with Sharon last night, and we were talking about one of our friends whom is trying to get into the marijuana business legally. And then we talked about another one of our friends who was in it illegally, but that's another story. So the legal one, you know, I'm like, yo, I'm trying to buy some stock, but I'm in a fight with myself between how I want to do it. And I think I know I finally made the decision. Now I'm doing the research as to who are the growers. Because I thought I wanted to invest in the distilleries. And I'm like, yeah, nah, that ain't going to be it. I think I'm going to invest in the growers. Because the plot and plan there for my strategy is, even if I get with someone small, God willing, the creek don't rise, someone larger will buy them out. So that just increases my stock value, and that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely want to get in with some folks who have a number of dispensaries that they're currently partnering with, so that I can put myself in that position to either grow with them or as they get so big that others want to come along and buy them up. So that just makes money upon money for me and shit like that. So it's been a very good week. You know, I had a bitch of a week at work, not even gonna lie. It wasn't the worst, but it was just, lot of petty shit. But outside of that, there was a huge awakening to the outside world this week, which I believe the kickoff to that was, I want to say last Sunday, I was talking to my sister, and she was like, yo, how's the new gig going? And I was like, cool, cool, cool. And she was like, well, has your body caught up? And I was like, nah, I'm not even going to lie. One of the reasons I took the gig was it's better hours and better days off. And with that, I was hoping to really get into life more so, meaning I was there's a couple of professional courses I wanted to take that I actually enrolled in, and they haven't come into fruition yet because my ass has really just been chilling. You know, really, my body's just been adjusting to boom. And I was like, yo, I didn't think it was going to take this long because, you know, obviously my reference point was when I was younger, and I actually said that shit out of my mouth. Like, shit, when I was younger, I could have done this shit for like a month and a half, and I would have been like, boom. Well, guess what? My ass ain't that fucking young no more, so I just can't spring back like that. However, I'm pushing for a refresh and a start within the next couple of weeks, because I know this week is going to be crazy. Next weekend, I'll be in Atlanta and then come back. That'll be, what, Christmas week, right? Basically, it'll be Christmas week. That'll be like the week before Christmas. I know work is going to be crazy. And then right after that is New Year, so I'm like, fuck it. I'll try to do it before the New Year, but I won't be too heavy on hard on myself if I don't transition until the New Year. But I have a drop dead date of the New Year. Like, I got to get back into my professional studies and stuff like that, without a doubt. So that's where I'm at with that. And, you know, I'm excusing myself next week too, because not only am I traveling, but Star Wars comes out next Friday, and let's be real, your boy is all focused on that right now. I'm not even gonna lie, I've been waiting for it. The previews look awesome. Duke is just running the field right now. My C's lost last night by 3 points to San Antonio. I'm happy I didn't pick up the phone and call my brother, because he would have ragged me. He's a San Antonio Spurs fan. I'm not. Obviously, I'm a Celtics fan. And my man handed down this dunk last night that was nasty. However, we lost the game, so I'm glad I didn't call him and talk shit too early. That wouldn't have been a good look at all. Not good at all. But it's good, man. I mean, everything came together. It reverbed. It's pushed this energy forward. There's nothing like seeing the power that women are taking right now for their health, mental health, emotional health, and calling these guys out whom are falling like dominoes, right and left, left and right, with regards to sexual misconduct, so on and so forth. At the same time, we need to make sure that in the wake of all of this, we not only move forward united, meaning everyone understands what the hell is happening, why it's happening, and what the boundaries are, but also that we give one another space to be understanding that this was and is the reckoning season, and it doesn't have to be forever. Not saying that no one should report anything. I'm just saying that this shit shouldn't be a fucking norm, like 3-4 times a week for eternity. Like, dog, sooner or later, we gotta learn, male and female, and we don't have to move on, but we have to relate again and not just clash all the time over everything. You know, this, we got a lot of wars going on right now. The race, the sexes, gender identification. When the hell are we just going to kumbaya and get together as humans? Fuck everything else. Just, when can we get back to relating on a human level? And when I'm understanding that humans aren't perfect, and being giving to that, but not being foolish with that. Does that make sense? Did I come through clear with that, or did I lose you? Did I lose you, Rashi, or did I?
No, you didn't lose me at all. But I, no, you didn't lose me at all. But I do still hear that resounding theme with you of, you know, freedom.
Right.
What does the transgendered person really say to us? If not, I want the freedom to look like this. I want the freedom to do this. And, you know, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. It's actually something that's resounding around this country real hard right now. The freedom to earn their money in a cryptocurrency. You know, the freedom, the economy, you know, economic freedom is what they call reproductive freedom, because they got it now to where men are getting utero transplants, and they can start. They're going to be able to soon, with hormones, start impregnating men. The freedom for men to define whether or not they want to bring a baby into the world with their own body. Freedom. The freedom to live. The freedom to destroy the planet. That's what our last legislation was. We just got rid of a good portion of our national parks and monuments. And what the freedom to drill deep into Mother Earth until she coughs up black gold. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And so maybe our new theme is going to be, when are we going to restrict ourselves for the betterment of everybody? You know?
There you go.
When are we going to be like Australia and start snatching the guns out of the kids and say, if you want to have a gun, you got to go through classes and certifications and mental stability assessments. You got to do all that if you want to have a 22. Here, and nobody gets a rocket launcher. Nobody. When are we going to start regulating each other for the betterment of all? Some would say non-regulation is when you really get the magic. And I'm like, this is what we got. This is the Wild Wild West. You know, when you ask people about America, they chuckle a little bit. First they giggle a little bit. You're like, what do you think about America? And they go, well, and then they come, you know. They come with commentary that the average American is not prepared to hear. Them are some gun happy, you know, drug happy, sex happy.
Lazy.
Unregulated.
Loud.
American.
Lazy, loud.
Uncouth, fat,
right? Feeling privileged,
unhealthy, cancer-ridden.
Feeling of privilege.
Even how about when they so mad at America that even me, when we traveled abroad and they heard my American accent, they was looking funny at me for my American privilege, like I actually have some, you know. So I tell them, all right, are we prepared to regulate one another in this country so we can change our global impression? Do you think Americans are ready to look at each other and say, hey, man, don't do that, man? Because, see, when they see this globally, they're going to think.
Nope.
So.
Because that's socialist.
I feel like black people have regulated. We have been regulated. Hey, do you remember your mama telling you, don't touch nothing, don't look at nothing, don't ask for nothing, and don't you show your, and if we leave this house, don't you show your black ass out here, little boy. That's the regulation that our mama's been regulating us for 450 years. So when we talk about us regulating each other, who are we actually talking about?
Well,
I really want us to delve into your Baltimore Rising talk, though, because Freddie Gray's death was actually a modern-day miracle. He was one of the only people I've ever seen get killed without a killer.
Yeah, you know, the
they
lead
have
detective...
no person.
the lead detective in the case says, you know, that this was truly a freak accident. Okay. Now, with respect to her, I get that, but how many of us would be able to walk free, even if it were a freak accident? So I don't know, man. That whole thing was tough because I'm looking at it and I'm seeing the police when the verdict was read. They're chanting and not guilty, not guilty. And like I'm like, I can feel that because those are the folks that you work with every day. You don't want them to boom, boom. But then you have to placate. Well, you have to remember that someone that you are charged to serve still died within your custody. While in your custody, not within, but while in your custody. Somewhere there needs to be some responsibility and accountability for that. Somewhere there needs to be some responsibility and accountability for that. So I started digging into some other shit. And, you know, I didn't know that the Baltimore City Police Department were not adherent to Baltimore City. Actually, it's an arm of the state just because of the funding and the charter. Now, Baltimore City is very unique. Baltimore City is one of the rare cities that has an independent charter from the state. So there are instances and times, which we're going through right now, and it's been an elongated period of time, where the state has turned its back on the city, and the city turned their thumb or middle finger back to the state because the city didn't need the state. And that power struggle has gone on for years. So now we have a governor whom is hell-bent, I believe, on doing what no other governor has been able to do, which is keep Baltimore City under tow. Now, the tables have turned. It really started with Bill Clinton and our former mayor, Schmoke and Clinton went to school together. They were both Rhodes Scholars. They went to Oxford together. So if Schmoke couldn't get funding from the state for whatever he wanted, he just asked Bill. Bill created a grant, sent the money to the city. Schmoke was like, fuck y'all, I'm good. And he did that many an occasion because the governor that was in at the time, Paris Glendinning, was Republican. They didn't get along. It was what it was. It is what it is. So we had the same with Ehrlich, Governor Bob Ehrlich, even Martin O'Malley. He was a fucking bum, and he should have never ran the city. I was there when Joan Pratt brought his ass around, and I said, this boy is going to be the worst fucking coming that we have for the city. And she argued up and down that no, he made promises, he made guarantees, that he didn't do shit. He didn't do shit. He got his ass in office, turned his fucking back on the black folks, and kept him pushing all the way up to the gubernatorialship of the state of Maryland. And then he didn't do pretty much nothing when he was there for the city. But he did mandate very tough policing policies in the city, which purged the city of workers and created fatherless homes and children going to prison for life sentences when they were just children. You know, we're the only country in the world that does that. We are the only country in the world that sentences our children to life imprisonment. They are children. Now, not saying that what they did or didn't do shouldn't be punished, because they should still be held accountable for their actions. But a 12-year-old who is reading on a fifth grade, well, that's not true, a third grade level, how culpable are you really for your actions when you're 12 and you're reading on a third grade level? Really? Do you really understand what you're doing? Or are you doing, or are you just imitating what you've seen? So rehabilitation is definitely a better answer.
Well, I mean, there's
in a lot
no
of
test,
those cases.
Though, brother. Brother Lee, there's really not. I mean, the competency test that they give has a lot to do with empathy and remorse and whether or not people can recognize the consequences of their action. It's the test
mm-hmm.
they give you, say, if you want to plead insanity on your defense case. It's the
mm-hmm.
test they give you when they're ready to commit you against your will. All right? But
mm-hmm.
look at those cases now. That's when you finna get institutionalized is when your competency comes into play. All
right? Right, right, right.
Now, how about we start determining competency? We have to start figuring out people's competency before they're on their way to the institution. You understand?
Hmm.
And then we can start talking. But we have to, if we waiting till Billy Badass do something wrong to determine whether or not he's of being responsible for the consequences of his actions, then we're forever going to be behind. You know, the cart is forever going to be in front of the horse as far as that's concerned. We need to have a, you know how you test in high school, you do your end of before you can graduate high school, you're supposed to do some kind of test, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be coupled with a competency, coupled with an emotional, psychological competency exam. And then that way we can say, okay, we found out that he wasn't right before he even left high school. You know, we don't send him to the FBI. We don't send him to the police academy.
I think that's too late. I really think it should be after the third grade. To be honest with you, it should start at that point and do it every 2 years. To be totally honest with you. But if you did that, then you kill the prison industrial complex, which is free labor. And you don't want to do that because that's money. Follow the money. So you put these cats in prison. You pay them 8 cents a day. 8 cents an hour, whatever, to do some labor intensive high tech job because you've got them hooked on these damn computers and gaming systems and all that stuff. So now you give them a job, that high tech job that you would have paid someone else $70,000-$80,000 a year for, but you get these jokers for 10 years, and again you're paying them 8 cents an hour or whatever the pay is. And you got that individual for 10 years, that's money directly to your bottom line. You know, maximum minimums. Really? Who has a maximum minimum? So I, as the judge, have absolutely no judgment in this case. I have to give you a maximum minimum? What if what you did didn't really come off to me as something that needed a maximum minimum? What if things that you've done since then or before then shows me that you have the potential and or the ability to do something different if I give you something else to do? So again, I have no say-so in this. I'm just sitting there with this piece of wood in my hand, knocking it around. Just for the hell of it. Because you've already told me what this person is going to get via the law that you signed into play. In so many ways, our country is out of order. In so many ways. So many ways. This shit ain't balanced in any way, shape, or form. On a lot of levels, you know, it just isn't, man. The scales are tilted heavily in favor of those whom don't want to play, but they want to reap the benefits of the game, but they don't want to play the game, meaning they don't want to put their efforts, their sweat, their energy into making it happen, but they want to reap all the benefits from those whom are out there playing the game. You know, I likened it to Sister Merkel. So she gets engaged to the prince, and all this love and whatever. And I'm saying to myself, because they're talking about her stance on her racial identity and so on and so forth. So my direct comments on that were, you know, don't be confused by how you see yourself, but be confused by those whom set the rules of the game and change them to meet their needs in the moment, how they view you. Because right now, you're biracial. 30 years ago, you were a nigger because you had one drop of black blood in you. But now you're biracial. So what happens 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? How do they view you then? And that's the shit that, you know, in all this, we are one, we are America, we are Americans, we are fair. All this shit gets lost in translation because it's bullshit. We're not. As soon as those scales start to tip in a manner in which you don't feel comfortable, you want to change the rules to make you feel comfortable and on top again. You know, I was engaged with a sister a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about imagery and how there's oftentimes that white males are shown with black females on television, but it's not often that you see a black male shown with a white woman on television. And she argued me down right, left that that's not the case. So I said, "Yo, let's even make it clearer than that. Let's take it off of the television and just go to Walmart. If you go to Walmart to the Connection Center and you look at their Connection Center, there's a mobile family plan or some shit like that. There's a black woman, white male, and their children on that poster. You go back up to the Vision Center. There's a black female, white male, and their children in the Vision Center. Just look around. It's not hard. The new Lexus. I think.
Well, they tried,
Lexus
brother. Commercial. They tried.
Tried what?
You don't remember the Cheerio commercial that set the industry? Yeah. They tried with the black man and the white lady in the Cheerio commercial. And Cheerio, go look at the stock. I can't remember. I think it came out like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Go look at Cheerio stock from 2 years ago. We're not talking about people start mumbling. People stop buying stock in Cheerio, in General Mills. They stop purchasing General Mills products. You understand what it means when you put forth an image that this country is not ready to identify with? They boycott you and they sanction you. You know, and my newest favorite sanction is the NFL, right? Speaking of black men with white women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the black people mad, right? So about the conditions of how they treating us, so they boycotting. And then white people is mad about the boycott, so they boycotting. So the NFL is literally, they getting hit both ways from people mad. You understand? The freedom to say, we not finna buy into that ideology. We not buy in. If you not gonna show... They like show to split the commercial in half. Show a black family having fun with Cheerios and show a white family. But why do you feel compelled to overlap those families on top of each other just to sell pressed oats?
Let me tell you something. I feel you with the NFL piece 100% because for real, their tickets the Raven tickets have been on Groupon for the past month and a half. You have never seen tickets to a Ravens game on Groupon. And you can go on Groupon and buy tickets to the Ravens. Like, wow. Never seen that shit. Never seen it. I'm on Groupon right now. Pittsburgh Steelers tickets are on Groupon. Pittsburgh Steelers tickets on group. Hell, the Steelers versus the Ravens tickets on group. You ain't never seen no shit like that. Never. They got the Ravens on here. New England's on here. Well, Cleveland, yeah, you can see that.
Cleveland ain't doing shit.
But they got tickets for the freaking Ravens versus Steelers on Groupon. Yeah, I mean, yo. But, and then they just gave your boy, Goodell, a 5-year extension. And that motherfucker making like, what was he making? Hell, I think he making like 5 years, like 45 mil, some shit like that. Crazy. Crazy.
That
money.
In itself should be a crime.
But they are a non-profit. You know
that's
that, right?
That's a crime.
He's, the NFL
fine.
Is a non-profit. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, even that, how they got it all registered is a crime. How Carl Sagan got a monopoly on the media with the shit is a crime.
I'm sorry. He's making $40 million
a year.
How they
treated the dude who came with the medical information saying that they was bashing each other's brains out. That was a crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's America, though.
I mean, it's a criminal enterprise from the beginning to the end. You know, even who can even put press the logo on the textiles? That's a crime. That's a monopoly. Who can even make a Green Bay Packers jersey is a crime. You know, the material, the little Chinese people they got sewing the shit together is a crime. You know, and how they give all the African kids, all the fucked up
the
gear
leftovers.
That ain't right,
right
from the teams that didn't
right.
win is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much they charge for a beer at the game is a crime.
Giving folks beer at
when
a
I
football
get
game should
down.
Be a crime.
Here, having beer at a game should be a crime. Inciting violence
absolutely.
Like that at a game.
And that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. You are exciting violence. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You are inciting violence. Abso-freaking-lutely. Mm-hmm. But it's America. It's smoke and mirrors. It's all entertainment. It's look over here. Don't pay attention to what we're doing over there. You know, your boy Donald Trump has mastered that. He knows how to do the fake out. You know, this fucking supposedly tax cut bill that's going to help the middle class isn't. The tenants that affect the middle class actually expire in 3 to 5 years, most of them, and those that last infinity are for, well, infinitely, I should say, not infinity, but infinitely are those for those making the most money, the rich and the affluent. They will benefit from the breaks and the cuts that this thing creates until someone comes along and cuts them back off at their knees, but theirs never expire under the pillars of the bill, the legislation. This whole thing is crazy. It's we still don't know what his taxes look like, so we don't know how it benefits him, right? He says out of his mouth, "Oh, this is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt me." How do we know? We've never seen his taxes. Never seen his taxes. He said a lot of things. That shit don't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's true. He did a campaign event just yesterday, Pensacola, Pecola, right over the border from Alabama for Roy Moore. Might as well been in Alabama, you know. But the climate that we're living in right now is very toxic. It's very toxic. And it will continue to be the way it is. For It's God willing this motherfucker doesn't get elected again. But we're gonna need at least 12 years to recover from this shit. The announcement to move the capital to Jerusalem sent shockwaves off in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, he started
Folks took to the
started it up.
They're rioting.
You know,
they're boycotting.
You know, this is prophesized now. Brother Lee, this is the prophecy. See, if you ask any crack whip conspiracy theorist who knows anything about this, they'll tell you that this exactly that is happening exactly as it was written.
Mm. But I mean,
They said a faithless.
Go ahead. Finish.
They said
finish
a faceless man, a faceless now. Someone who worships no God was going to start battle between those of the faith over something holy. They don't discuss it as land. They just discuss it as something holy, and that somebody with no skin in the game, because you know we worship capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
No God. Someone with no God was going to begin a war. All the casualties were going to be believers.
Mm.
People who do not subscribe to religious ideology are not about to have any problem with what's about to happen. But
right.
Anyone who has come down on one side or other on the fence of religious idea, you're about to have the fight of your life.
Well, and that's where I was going at it.
They finna start Bible throwing.
You're talking about, you know, ISIS and trying to prevent attacks throughout the world. Yet you've just threw the bird at these jokers saying, you know, we don't give a fuck about you. We all about these cats. We on their team, and that's what we gonna do. That's what we riding with. So, you know, do your worst. Well, their worst can be worse. Very, very bad. You know what I'm saying? So now you're driving these young folk whom had some belief, they had some inspiration via our last president, right, hoping against hope that this one would just hold the ship steady. Hold the ship steady. You ain't got to ride the motherfucker to the port. Just hold it steady. Don't crash. Don't sink it for the reinforcements to come in when we elect his ass out. And then some real stuff can go on. Well, here you go. You don't only want to park it in the port. You want to ram the fucking port and run up into that damn downtown with the damn ship. So what are they supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? And this
no,
is
he
shit
didn't even
that
do
I,
that,
I
bro.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
He decided to drive the ship backwards to the original port and dock it there and ram it up on the on. He didn't even try to get to the end game of what people been working on him. He literally went backwards. He said, oh, we'd have come too far. He stopped all the engines and turned it around and hit reverse and went back to the other port. This is what's going down. You got to.
I'm giving him too much credit.
You think we're going
forward. I'm giving him too much credit.
This is about. You got to go backwards. You got to start thinking about reversing policies. You got to think about deregulation. You got to start thinking about, you know, undoing some of the work we've been doing, not trying to claim power and come to the end phase and say we did the work. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm.
You know, so this is the only thing I want us to really pay attention to. All right. We don't see over here. In Barbecue USA, we don't know the fallout of our president's words per se. You would have to be an international traveler. You would have to be super devout and be making the trips to Mecca and be making the trips to the Wailing Wall so that you could know what the climate of those of that region is. We don't know. We only go to the corner church. The closest we'll do is go into the big city to our old church. We're not going to the Wailing Wall. So when they blow that motherfucker up, we won't be there to collect the rubble. You understand? We won't see it. We'll have to wail on our individual walls here in the States. So I'm starting to try to figure out what's the mindset of a nation that would let a bully that don't even live in that country start a fight that they gonna have to fight. Those Palestinians are not gonna come and kill people in Iowa. They're gonna kill Israelis. Why would you let someone else pick your fight? If they wanted to declare for in an international mind frame that that land was theirs, they would go to the ICC. They would go to the IMF or whoever else dictates where to draw the border line. They don't come. America don't make no damn borders. We barely can keep ours up. We talking about test building walls to keep our own border together. How could we possibly tell people all the way across the world where to draw their border lines and whose land is what? It's asinine. And we're not going to pay. We're not going to pay for that. We as an individual nation of the United States, the worst that's going to happen is the removal of a couple of military bases. Because I know there's at least 10 in that region, just to keep it stable. Now, when the instability comes, they don't tear up their neighborhood. They go for the embassy.
Right.
They go for the court.
They know how to protest.
They blow up the hospital.
They know how to protest.
You hear me? They don't blow up 70. They don't blow up the 7-Eleven.
Shit, nigga. I need a trophy later on.
They coming for that wailing. They coming for that wailing wall. You hear me? And so we're not prepared as a nation to even pay for all the shit that's finna get destroyed in the name of us trying to say who should live where. We don't have any money. We still paying Japan for the five-headed babies that we created. All right? We still paying this last one somewhere in the Middle East. We still rebuilding the Middle East for all the shit we blew down the rubble. We still paying for the wars that we wedged. We still paying China. If China even asked for a 1% increase on our debt, we couldn't even afford to keep the lights on.
Broke as hell.
Who are we? We broke as hell, which is why this new tax plan came on with so much love and affection. This is why they were able to get some creepy crawlers to get out of the bed at 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and vote against the rest of us Americans, because we broke. And they said, we so broke, if we don't cut these poor motherfuckers loose, if we don't cut these poor Americans loose, we gonna sink with the ship.
But the issue is they're not cutting them loose. This tax cut is going after their pockets, right and left and right. So you don't know what it's going to look like when it comes out of chamber with the House and the Republicans consolidating. Don't know what it's going to look like exactly when it comes out of that. But with the aim at college tuition, the funding of private schools over public schools, meaning money is earmarked to go to providing for private schools, yet no additional funds are earmarked to go to public schools. So not only are you paying for everybody to go to public school, you're now also paying to go to private school. But if you're on the poor end of the spectrum, even though you're contributing to these rich folks' kids going to school, you can't afford the tuition to put your kids in that same school that you're fucking paying for. Who does that? Then when you start working on your higher degree issues, your high stepping stones, I mean, your master's, your doctorate, so on and so forth. Well, now those monies aren't, there's no tax break on that either. So you're screwed. the cap on your mortgage, again, don't know exactly what that's going to look like. One bill says, what does it say? $100,000, I think the other one says $500,000, some shit like that. Don't know exactly what that's going to wash out to be.
Yeah, it was.
But they're coming.
Because the average black family's house ain't even worth $100,000. I mean $100,000.
But they're coming after the poor right and left, and they're letting the rich folks just get off. Like, yeah, no, you good. No, but what about the taxation debate? Nah, we ain't gonna take that from you no more. You keep that in your pocket, dog. The pass-throughs, yeah, you keep that too, dog. You keep it going. It's all good. You good. But now we're going to tax these folks like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So no, they're actually coming. They're not letting us go. They're squeezing us even more and more and more. You know, this is some Napoleonic bullshit. This is the best of times, the worst of times. This is a tale of two cities, for real. This is some shit right here. And for these jokers to sit up on a high horse
and keep saying
that this is beneficial for all, this is really going to help the middle class. Stop lying. It's not about the middle class. It's not about the middle class at all. We are the highest tax. No, we're not. We're not even in the fucking top five as the highest tax nations in the world. Stop lying. Stop fucking lying. You know what I'm saying? Just the utter and sheer amount of untruths, half-truths, fake news, false statements. It's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. And these are the folk who have for years said, give it to us because we know how to run it right. We're not going to add to the national debt. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do it. And as soon as they come into power, they like, shit, we lied. It's on and cracking. And sadly, they need a win and want a win so fucking bad that they're willing to do anything instead of starting and doing what they should have done, which is start with infrastructure. That is a win for the nation as a whole.
Brother Lee, I have a question.
Shoot.
I have a question here. Contract, when they pass these ridiculous budgets where a man with $20 billion now gets to keep after a tax season, now he has $21 billion somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Do the billionaire have to sign some kind of contract saying, no, for real, I'm going to spend at least $1 billion this year? Like,
hell no.
Well, who? It's not like there's no contract between the average rich person and this country. There's no hey, I'm going to work on, there's nothing. If it was, then you wouldn't have offshore bank accounts.
Correct.
You know?
And you wouldn't
You wouldn't have Swiss account stronghold.
And they wouldn't need a Swiss a slew of lawyers who strictly focus on taxation. That's all they do. That's all they do is work on tax law.
So there
and
is
find
no
loop,
agreement.
And find,
so when
and
you
find
tell
loopholes.
Me,
go ahead.
When you tell me put the money in the hands of the man who know what to do with the money, you telling me put the money in the important man's hand. He know what to do,
mm-hmm.
right? But his whole plan is to keep the money. There's no agreement, if I don't say with this, if I get $10 billion and I don't start a some type of business, that should be illegal.
No,
it
it's not because
to be a billionaire and then not have to funnel that money. There's no agreement with rich people to give the money to where we can work it. They seriously
of course not.
would prefer to just hold the hose and squeeze it. I don't understand why we give it to rich people like they're going to give it back.
Okay, first off, that's not the society that we live in. You said earlier we live in a capitalistic society. That's not capitalism. Capitalists don't turn around and then send their money back to the people that they got it from. That's not what they do. So there is no contracts with them to turn around and give the money back because, again, that's not what capitalists do. That's not the society we live in. That's not a free market society at all. So one of the general principles of a free market society is give the money to the money makers, and they will best guide industry to benefit the nation. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to give shit back. That just means that they will best shape industry so that industry will then help the nation while, of course, helping themselves. And if that means that they have to build a factory in Guadalupe versus building a factory in Indianapolis, then that's what they do because that gives the best ROI, the best return on investment for them, their families, and their stockholders, because that's what capitalism is all about, return on investment of stockholders. So what's going to happen is the same thing that happened last time, that industry was given a huge tax break and tax cut. What they did was they took that money, and the first thing they did was a huge stock buyback. Why? Because the stock buyback puts more money in their pocket because now the stock is worth more money. They own more pieces of it, more money in their pocket. Boom, boom. They don't do a lot of capital investments, meaning buildings and or capital investments in the respect and regard of hiring because that costs them more money. So they may do some minor infrastructural improvements and or they may do some capital investment in technology, but technology means you need less people. So either way, the people in the equation get fucked and get screwed, while the people with the money make more money. Because if you put more machines in to do the work of the individuals, you get greater productivity, you get consistent productivity, you get better return on your investment all the way around. So that's what happens. And 9 times out of 10, that's what's going to happen. It doesn't work. Trickle-down economics doesn't work. Why? Because of American greed.
Yeah, it just does not.
Because
greed,
of
American greed, American exceptionalism, American privilege, and this false idea of some American dream, this idea that we were all going to get a picket fence with a we were going to have 2.5 children, and mm-hmm. that we were all going to have at least one spare room for our guests.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what dwelling it is, you're supposed to have a guest area. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we were all supposed to be able to retire and do what we want. Now, when you tell people that that was a lie,
mm-hmm.
but they still keep trying to chase that, you put the nation's mindset in turmoil when you have them expecting one thing and the money goes another way. So they think America's going to sit here patiently and wait for money to trickle down? You think
mm-hmm.
the average person's going to keep waiting years for this quarter dollar raise that this trickle down supposed, or to get another person hired on their job so they can have more hours at home with their family for the same pay? You think they're going to
mm-hmm.
wait on that? They're not. They're not. They're not going to wait. They're not going to wait. And what I foresee is a whole bunch of different products are about to come off of the shelves. You know how they got mad at Keurig? Somebody got mad at Keurig, and they started smashing their Keurig machines, things like that.
Oh, that was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I can't remember what that was about.
To buy a product. To buy your product means to have a certain political view. It'll become like gay people with Chick-fil-A. You're not finna see no Chick-fil-A burger in a gay man's hand, because to shop Chick-fil-A is to come down on a political view. You're about
mm-hmm.
to see people start using their money not because they want to shop there, but because that's the only place they know that is not working against their actual best interest. That's the only place mm-hmm. they can shop that'll hire them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see it. I'm interested in it. I don't know exactly how it's going to come down. It's about to be a lot of less electronics, you know, things that say made in China. They about to start getting funny about buying stuff made in China. They about to get funny about buying stuff that don't, where you won't see an American person with a job, you know?
The only reason I disagree with that is because wages haven't increased. And the jobs number came out this week, and it was positive. Actually, I think it wound up being 60,000 more jobs than analysts had expected it to be. Unemployment came out to be 4.1%, holding steady, which is actually full employment. But wages have gone up like 0.02% or some ill shit like that. And actually, Rachel Maddow had a guest on just the other day. So the job numbers came, I'm sorry. So added 228,000 jobs. Unemployment still held at 4.1. The expectation was 195, so it was actually roughly 30,000 more than expected. But Rachel Maddow had a guest on just the other day, and I was listening to him, and he was saying what the jobs report says is we've done nothing in the past 30 years. And his breakdown for that was, when you look at it, the average number of breadwinning homes has remained the same over the past 30 years. So that means we've not created any additional opportunities for folks in the past 30 years. Like, how do you do that? How does a nation do that? Over 30
years?
Well,
I'm going to say this. It's not that we haven't created new industry. It's that as we create a new one, the other one phases out. Like when computer technology, So we have to say we doing new shit, but not faster than we getting rid of old shit.
Old shit.
Things
I
are becoming
you.
Obsolete so fast. Yeah, that we can't keep up with how fast we're growing technologically. It is hard. And mm-hmm. and people don't want to learn that new stuff. I know a lot of old heads who are not about to learn how to use a computer. So until we get to where more people are computer savvy than they're not, like right now we just have more people who don't understand technology than we have those who do. We're going to hit a tipping point, Lee. We're going to hit a tipping point where the baby come out with an iPad coming from the uterus. You know what I'm saying? We're going to hit a tipping point where even grandma, because see, in 30 years I'll be a computational grandma, right? Great grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even going to be a generation from now where more, because I learned computer in my lifetime. So my grandchildren will have it. It'll be there immediately. So what I'm telling you is there'll be come a time where more people will be willing to interface with technology than will not.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, now we can see some new stuff popping off, because that resistance, that pushback by analog people to digital technology, that pushback between analog and digital, it's about to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. I want to go into a couple of things.
Hold on, Brother Lee. I'm so sorry, Brother Lee. I got a situation going on at home. I'm gonna have to text you. I have to get off the line. I'm sorry, brother.
I have to go. Do you think? I was about to wrap it up anyhow, pretty soon. So. It is Saturday, which means some folks have fallen, and we have no music. Actually, Beans, we need to work on that. We need to do some farewell music. Well, former Goldman Sachs partner Diane Powell who joined Trump's administration last January as an advisor on women's issues to Ivanka Trump and rose quickly to become deputy national security advisor with a heavy hand in the Middle East issues, will be departing the administration early next year. This was just announced yesterday. We wish Ms. Powell very well in her future endeavors. While we spoke on this earlier, Mr. Al Franken announced his resignation on Thursday. Representative Trump Franks resigned on Friday. We're actually looking at another potential high-ranking Trump. I can't say she was in the cabinet, but she was in the atmosphere of the administration from the campaign up until now, Hope Hicks. She met with the special counsel on Friday, given her interviews and testimony to the Russia investigation. It was leaked that she is potentially leaving the administration sooner rather than later, so we will keep our eyes on that. If she does become a nugget for Mueller in this investigation, she stands to be the highest-ranking nugget in the investigation thus far, because she has been with the president from the beginning up until now. So it will be interesting to see what comes about, especially revolving around her. Stephanopoulos, his fiance, came out striking back at the administration, saying that he was not a pawn, but very instrumental in the administration and its dealings early on. Plus, he took direction from the campaign and only from the campaign to make every and any move that he made. So that in and of itself is hot, if you will. I'll leave it at that. Because, dude, you're looking at this dude Mueller, man. This investigation is running very, very well. Very, very well. It's running hot, clean, and normal. He is lining himself up. I said this last week, I believe. If I didn't say it on air, I said it to some friends. If you look at his team, he has assembled a team that is that focuses on money and money laundering, so on and so forth. So remember what brought down Capone? It could be the same situation here. And this thing looks like it's chugging along a hell of a lot faster than most people thought, to be honest with you, because he's tagging some people, some heavy hitters, right now. It's not 6 months from now. It's not a year from now. He's hitting them over the head right now. And from the reports that I've been reading, the counsel to the president have not been doing a good job preparing him for this potential windfall, because all they've been saying to him is, you know, this thing will be over by Christmas, and it's Christmas, and this shit ain't over. If anything, it's doing the bizarro effect, which is heating up. So we will see how the president handles that. In lieu of that, if you heard his speech the other day, I don't remember exactly what he was talking about, but he was talking about something, and he got very slurry in his words. It was very unclear as to what he was saying. His staff have announced that he will have a checkup done really soon, and that the results of that checkup will be made public. Again, we'll wait to see that. But your boy Mike Pence is definitely playing the fence. Politico has an article out about him from a couple of days ago. Matthew Nussbaum wrote this one: Pence pleads ignorance as Russia probes deepens. And my take on that is and was that he's trying to keep himself in a situation where when the shit hits the fan, he's as squeaky clean as he possibly can be so that he can take the big chair if the opportunity presents itself. So that's nothing unexpected from him. He seems like that sneaky of a dude, though. You know, I mean, I've said this a couple of times. You know, this is Bush and what's that boy's name? what was his name? The one that got shot. Oh, damn, I can see him, but I can't think of. But this is part two, and he's even scarier than that dude, for real. Oh, I can't think of his name. That's a damn shame. But see how well and happy I was with President Obama that I forgot his damn predecessors. Whatever. It'll come to mind. It's not that big of a deal at this point. I just hate missing names. So we didn't have dinner. It was just a meetup last night. And my classmates were like, yo, you don't forget nothing and nobody. And I was like, well, you know, my memory is pretty much close to photogenic, to be honest with you. So it's not that I don't forget anybody. It's really hard for me to forget people. Again, hence the reason that I like to talk to people. But it's a curse because when I know something and I know somebody, it irritates the hell out of me until I figure out who the hell they are and where I know them from. And it does. It bothers the shit out of me. I'm not even going to lie. But I usually can work it out. Just give me a little time. Give me a little space. And Cheney, Dick Cheney, that's it. Give me a little time. Give me a little space. And I can tend to, oh, God, these boys are just raining threes. I'm watching the Duke-Boston College game. Look, I'm a Duke fanatic. You know how I do. I can usually work it out through name association or some other type of word association, number. So some type of association I can usually figure it out. When we're sitting back and we're talking about this person and that person, I'm describing in detail whose classroom was where. Yeah, I'm that dude. Whose classroom was where and how I used to go to this person and that person, how we all interacted and so on and so forth. All that to say what I said earlier, just to reiterate, you know, we're never guaranteed the next day nor the next moment. So cherish every last one of them, family, like it was your last, because you don't know when it is going to be your last. And hell, if it's not yours, it could be theirs. This is the season for a giving. Jesus is not the reason for the season. Stop that bullshit. Yes, Jesus is not the reason for the damn season. It's all about economics and power. Read your damn history. Fuck your Bible. Read your history. And you will understand what that's all about. Constantine, Emperor, Chancellor Nicaea. Yeah, read those. Come back at me. But this is definitely the season for change, and hopefully change is in the air, and we make the necessary adjustments to better ourselves and bring about the things that we want and or need in our lives. So in that spirit, we bid you all a farewell. Have a wonderful weekend. You all be safe out there, be it it's snowing in your area or not. Please drive safely. Enjoy your time off. If you are off, enjoy your time with your family and or your friends. And if it is that way, enjoy your time by yourself. We love you. Hopefully we'll see you all next week on the radio. Be safe. Be good. Peace. We out.